Insensitivity.
That's a good one from the 80s.
But enough of that. It's off of the top.
You jerk.
And hijinks. And without further ado, let the big old bad old cartoon begin.
And thank you from me. You used to do a morning zoo. Part of my bottom. For listening to this frequency wherever you are. Hey. Hey.
Hey, Cher.
Hey.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey.
Hey, buddy. And HH, howdy, hi to you. Hello, it's me, your leader, Donald P. Geronimo.
And an excessively pleasant hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Mike O'Mara.
And we're not fat.
We're white.
We are Catholic.
And we are sick about it.
Sick about it. Let me start the show the same way I do every day because I'm a creature of habit. Let me thank you a big buttload for listening today. How golly gee was every day on all the fine stations and all the fine cities. That list of 38 affiliates kept in pristine condition by this. A baby that I believe was invented in the 1980s, if I'm not mistaken, with our 21st century technology.
You betcha.
The PV-119. Once you need you, got to have you. No, I haven't stopped it with the PV-119. There he is to my left, to your right. Radio's Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz. Great to see you. And hi. There is the beauteous Sherry Licker. Hello, Mommy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, nice to see you, Sher. Folks, welcome to the program. Today will be unlike any other show we've done before, even unlike the 1970s shows, because the 1980s are so close time-wise to where we are right now, only 15 years ago, we've got more tapes.
Right.
We've got more wild tracks of little bits of movies and television shows. We got actual snippets from news events.
Sure.
We've got all of our celebrity drop-ins. We've got every stinky song ever made in the decade of the 1980s.
This studio is just stacks and stacks of stuff. It's too bad this is not television, because it really is an impressive array of stuff there.
Today, we will, in fact, devote the entire show to the dreaded 1980s, the decade of greed, and a whole lot more. So if you're a child of the 80s, oh, do we pity you. We pity you. We pity the children of the 70s, because we were all on this show, all of us personally, children of the 70s.
I piddle the fool.
However, there's a whole new audience out there, younger than us, all of you who I guess are in your 20s now, approaching your 30s, who for the 80s were for you your formative years.
We've got people on our own staff who really formulated their view of the world during the 1980s, and I think that's proven every single day.
Because they're greedy and hateful, and they own guns, and they vote for Oliver North, and they do all that other stuff.
You betcha!
But we will devote the whole show today to the 1980s, so strap on your ankle weights. We do think you're going to like it. Let me get a couple of unrelated items out of the way, then on with the program. We do want to thank the good guys and gals at Smith Mayflower Moving and Storage.
Yeah!
In Alexandria, Virginia, for all your moving needs, call in 703-370-8300.
Right.
The good guys and gals there at Smith Mayflower Moving and Storage have graciously donated one of them big 18-wheelers.
Goody gumdrop.
A Mayflower moving van for our official Dinner of Mayflower promotion, which will be the Wednesday, I think that's the 23rd of November, I'm not sure of the day, but the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
That's correct.
That is the day that we're going to have Rob A. dress up in a pilgrim suit.
Buzz, did you push some kind of computer button to verify that date?
I had one of these little plastic pocket calendars that
he's glued to the wall. Isn't he organized?
He's so anal. He's the analyst, isn't he?
That's good. You said the date you said is that. I'm not sure whether that's correct. And then Buzz looked to his right and touched this little plastic thing, and then he had the information for us.
So we're going to dress Rob Spiewak up in a pilgrim outfit like Miles Standish. We're going to have other girls who will be wearing their Indian Pocahontas costumes.
That's right.
And we're going to make it as much like a real Thanksgiving as we can. Now, here's how we're going to be giving this away. We are going to give this away to the family listening to the show who has the most children.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. I got to applaud that one. I think that's the best way to do it.
Now, I've got to say that we're looking for at least a minimum here of 10 children.
Wow.
The mother that has pushed out 10 children. That's where we're going to start the bidding.
Now, a question for you.
And, of course, it's no bidding. It's simply the mother who's pushed out the most children, and all of them will be able to enjoy this fabulous meal on the Mayflower.
Now, will the restriction be that these children have to be brought onto this earth by the same mother and father, or can this be one of those brothers and sisters?
A Brady Bunch marriage?
By marriage.
I'd like to keep it as pure as possible.
Sure.
I'd like to keep it that all of the kids came out of the same place.
We'll make sure that there are blood tests before the show.
So we'll open up the phones now. I know we're not going to find this on the first day, but the phones will be open at 1-800-636-1067 and our toll-free fax number at 1-800-636-6410. You can either call in or fax in facts about your family and why you would be deserving of a dinner. And I make you this promise, we're going to do it right. We'll have a turkey with all the trimmings and all the real food. We're going to get a real caterer to come in and do this right.
All right.
Get a big dining room table in there. Get the fine china.
Little linen.
Well, I don't know about the living. I just know that I've been promised the food will be good, and that we'll have Robbie in his pilgrim suit.
Wonderful.
So if you would like to be a part of Thanksgiving history in the making, call us or fax us or send us a letter or something. We've got 2 weeks to go till Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and the family with the most kids will be able to celebrate Thanksgiving Day with us. Actually, we'll be here inside the warm studios.
That's right.
The van will be parked right outside on Main Street with Robbie and the engines.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
As the pilgrim and I guess some of the gals from the office dressed as Indian princesses.
Some kind of kerosene heater or something, probably.
Yes, perhaps. Or maybe a space heater. You know, I mean, we are living in a modern time. In the modern time. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Was that from the 80s? Or was that from the 70s?
Yeah. Early 80s. I think Arigato, Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto was an 80s song.
That's another one you'll be hearing. So we'll be talking more about the Thanksgiving show. Hey, I did want to say one thing here of a personal note. You know, it's funny how things work out that yesterday you had mentioned that your friend Gary, your longtime friend, that he had some heart problems, mm-hmm. and you wished him Godspeed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said yesterday, I said, kidding, I said, well, I got nothing to come back with, you know, because there really is nothing that you can say in response to that and keeping the flow of the show going. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, then today I'm going to make much the same announcement you did, that my father-in-law suffered a heart attack. Early this morning, and he's doing fine. That they expect a full recovery.
Oh, but
I do want to let him know that I'm thinking about him and that I love him and that everybody's very concerned. And the whole
Les is a good guy.
Whole family's going up there to see him, and especially if you know anything about me and the history that I've had with my parents, that it hasn't been the best. And Les has certainly been more of a father to me than my own father has been to me. He's a really, really good guy, and I wish him the best. And
yeah,
it's not an easy time for Frida and for all of her family.
Oh, so get well, Les.
So Godspeed, and get well, Les, my father-in-law.
Oh, right.
As he, you know, he's very easygoing.
Oh, he's a great guy. You know, I've only met him a couple of times, but he is a neat guy. He really is.
His standard answer for things, when you ask him anything, I'll say, where do you want to go out to dinner tonight?
Max.
And at first I said, why? Because Max... Well, Max, no difference to me.
Max, difference to me.
That's pretty much. What do you want to drink? What kind of beer? Max. Which car do you want to take? Max. Which game do you want to watch? Max. Very easygoing and just a wonderful guy. So wish him the best and certainly am praying for a quick recovery.
Get well soon, Les.
And one other thing that I had to mention to you before we start the 80s show here. About 25 minutes ago, right as we were coming into the studio to start the pre-show, phone rings back in our office.
Yes.
And I wish I could tell you that it was Chuck Robb. It was, in fact, Chuck Robb's personal secretary who was calling to tell us that Chuck would not be able to join us on the show
ever.
Yesterday.
Ever?
She called to say that. Now, keep in mind that yesterday has already passed.
Sure.
She called to say that he would not be able to be on the show yesterday.
That's real efficient.
Okay. Pretty glad I voted for this guy's camp.
Jeez.
I said to her, what? She says, I'm calling to tell you that Chuck Robb will not be able to make an appearance on the Don and Mike show on Wednesday, November 8th.
Right.
I said, that's fine. We know that. But today is Thursday, November 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know. I was just asked to call and leave the message.
Right. Oh, that's nice.
There you go.
That's real sweet of them. We appreciate it. Well, that's it. Then I'm going to attempt bipartisanship. And so at some point during the show, for the rest of time, at one point during the show, I will always say, hi, Newt.
Oh, Newt Gingrich, your new man.
Hi, Newt.
The Newter.
The Newt man.
The man of
Newtstinia.
And did anybody happen to watch the Ellen DeGeneres show last night?
Mm-mm.
I indeed will stand up when I think that my voice is being heard. I've said it on the radio every week since the show has come on. Last week, or maybe the week before, we actually even called up to ABC programming in New York.
Yep.
Ellen likes girls, okay? But on the show, they're making it out like Ellen likes guys. This is rather apparent to anybody, no matter which sex you like best,
sure,
boys or girls. I've said, if you want me to buy the concept that Ellen likes boys,
mm-hmm.
dress her up in girl's clothes. Because generally she wears clothes that you would have to say are neither a male nor female. They are, you know, like gender bender clothes. They're pretty much just bland, blah shirt and pants.
Androgynous.
Yes, androgynous. That's exactly the word. Thank you, Buzz. Last night, though, on Ellen, the show revolved around the fact that Ellen was wearing a dress.
Yeah, frilly dress.
And ideally, and if you saw the show last night, you know my taste. That's how I like all women to be dressed. In a dress much like Ellen DeGeneres had on last night. Looked like something from Gone in the Wind. This big... He's
Gone with the Wind?
What did I say?
Gone in the Wind.
Going in... Well, you don't...
Going in the Wind.
Trouble. You don't spit into the wind and don't pee into the wind. I know that.
Going in the Wind.
But you can't be a girl even when she's got on this big, huge dress. At one point, they're doing a gag where she's got this big, flowing dress and she goes to sit down.
It's a hoop skirt.
Right, and she sits down on the couch and the dress folds up over her face and she has to put it down.
Right.
Well, of course, I didn't think we'd see like a Sharon Stone shot that, sure, you know, we'd see her private of most areas.
That'd be an incredibly highly rated show, I would guess.
But I thought, you know, she'd probably have on some kind of a pants or, you know, some kind of dance, not like the thing my wife uses to exercise in her dance skin.
Or maybe pantaloons.
No. She had on jogging pants.
Yeah, it looked like sweatpants.
Yeah, she had on like jogging pants like that I wear, like guys' jogging pants.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this. Did the frilly look, do you think, did it help her in any way look more feminine?
No. Well, first off, they didn't give her any makeup.
Yeah,
and they didn't fix her hair at all. But I just wanted to say, I complain and moan and bitch about a lot of stuff on the radio, but I do want to make a note of when I think that some progress is being made.
They obviously listen to you when you call the production office.
Sure. Amen, thank you. So it's just nice to know that one little guy's voice can be heard out there. And if you please dress Ellen like that up every week, then maybe I would buy into the concept.
Well, I have an amazing TV note, and it was a revelation. I mean, I jumped up when I was watching this last night. I sat up.
It's not the fact that Barbara Walters doesn't know what Hooters are, is it?
No, that was not it, although that was a significant development. This, I sat up, I said, my God, it's true.
What?
It's true.
What?
I'm watching David Letterman last night, and David Letterman has Larry King on the show. And Larry King walks out and he sits down and he starts getting interviewed. And as soon as he sits down, he's kind of sitting in the chair so his back is turned to camera number one. And every time he turns, you get a look with the lights shining directly on the back of his head. And I mean, you know, we've joked about it for years, but I'm here to say it is official now. Larry King paints his bald spot.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on your tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day.
What do you care?
By the way, something.
What do you care?
What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
Hey, you saw it too, Sherry, right?
Yeah, I did. His hair looked really puffy, too. Like, from the side, he was, like, seated on, like, one side of his, you know, leg.
Are you guys saying that you could see a bald spot, or did it appear that he had actually used that great-looking hair?
I'm telling you that what I saw were strands of hair covering black skin that looked like it had been painted.
Yeah, like he had done something to manipulate the hair to go over it, but if you searched underneath, you'd see a spot.
Unless he's got, you know, a mole the size of home plate on the back of his head.
Entirely possible, though.
Yeah, it could
happen.
Don't
think so. You don't tape it anymore, do you? So you won't be able to verify that.
No, I haven't been able to.
Check it tonight. I have it on tape.
Buzz,
I want you to look at this, because when he turns towards Letterman, you see this, and it kind of is, it's shining a little bit, but it's paint. It looks like paint to me. It really does. I said, my God, he really does.
We'll freeze frame it, blow up the picture, get a close look at it.
Send it over to the Johnny Pop Laboratories.
Perfect.
And let me know what Professor Pop has to say about it.
Well,
okay?
Once Professor Pop goes over it with his magnifying glass, I'm sure he'll verify it.
And what about Barbara Walters? Well, she got Brett Butler on last night, and Brett Butler's talking about all the different surgeries she's had.
Sure.
And Brett Butler says, "Well, of course, I've had my Hooters done." And then Barbara Walters turns, you know, with that snooty way of hers, like, "Hooters? What a Hooters!" Meanwhile, Brett Butler's got each one of these big old dog-eared, chewed-on boobs in her hand. I mean, you know, it takes two hands to handle a Whopper, and she's got one of her boobs in each of her hands, and she holds them up. She goes, "These are them."
Yeah.
These are Hooters.
Yeah.
My brass.
And Barbara Walters, meanwhile, is like demonstrating how totally out of touch she is with the American public.
Yeah. Hooters? What are they?
Oh, you got to know she knows what Hooters are.
Sure, I bet she does. She's a wild woman.
Well, working with Hugh Downs.
I bet you knows what Hooters are. You better believe it.
Listen, I've said a lot of bad things about Hugh Downs, including the fact that I don't know why he's on 2020, because he never does anything, but I will not...
America's grandfather.
I will not take that stance, that anti-Hugh Downs stance. I think that Hugh Downs enjoys Hooters as much as the next man.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that that gracious tribute to Hugh Downs, and that's probably all you're going to get from Don Geronimo about Hugh Downs.
Worthless. Other than that, he's a worthless sack of water.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Hugh Downs.
He's wonderful.
Please, what do you do on the show 2020?
Explain to me his role. What does any anchor do? What does any anchor really do? They get there, they put their face on camera, and they read a teleprompter.
He comes on for 2 minutes at the beginning. They wheel him on. Then everybody else does the stuff, and they bring him on. And they're like, we're in touch, so you be in touch.
I heard that Hugh Downs is a big fan of that Santa Claus movie with Tim Allen.
Oh, stop. I'm not going to get in that argument with you again. Hey, hold on a second. Before we move on, is this a call about the dinner on the Mayflower?
Yes.
What's your name, please?
My name, first name is Dennis.
Dennis, where are you from?
St. Mary's County.
Dennis, how many kids did your mom have?
19.
Oh, yeah! 19 kids now.
Yeah. Now I'm a little nervous now, so.
Well, all right. Don't be nervous.
Okay.
We would need some kind of verification of that, and as many of the kids as possible who could join. How old is your dear old mom?
She just turned 75 this past Sunday.
And how many kids do you think you could wrestle up?
Well, I don't know.
Now, you know what we're talking about, an all-expense-paid meal, Thanksgiving dinner, and all the trimmings on the Mayflower.
Now, what about transportation, too, man?
Yeah, well, you got that right. Too bad.
Including grandkids, how many would that...
Including grandkids?
How many would that be, total?
Well, she's got, like, 67 grandchildren.
Oh,
and I think she has 35 or 36 great-grandchildren.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So, is that enough?
Ooh. First of all, I tell your mom to sit up and cross her legs, for goodness sake.
Well, she's been doing that here lately.
Yeah, listen, we're you're first on the list.
Well, I know it. I just happened to pick my son up from school, and I got back in the van, and I heard you on the radio, and I said, well, I got the tail end of it.
How many
I got the phone number, though.
How many kids do you have?
Just one.
Oh, just one.
Hey, look, when you go to my brother's and sister's house, they're crying all the time. You're kind of like, man, never, you know. He just turned 10, so
good.
Your
poor mom squeezed out 19 kids. How far apart in age are your other brothers and sisters?
Not very. Like, me and my sister were born in the same year. There was a couple other brothers and sisters that were born in the same year.
Wow. Okay. Hold on a second. Dennis, thanks for listening. You're first on the list.
Okay, thank you.
Now,
I have to go back to work here soon, you know.
Okay, yes. Diana will speak to you, and we'll get back to you before the actual dinner on the Mayflower. See, because we'll have to first find out, of course, if all your kids, all your brothers and sisters are legitimate. Not that I don't believe you.
Oh, that's not a problem.
Legitimate.
We'd have to find out how many of them could come join us here. And, you know, maybe we could see about working out some transportation. If not for other kids, maybe for dear sweet mom, get her a limo or something down here.
And I think we ought to send somebody down to the kitchen right now to start baking pies.
Yeah, chocolate pie.
Hey, look, you know, if I happen to win it, you guys would be in deep debt. You know what I mean?
And you never know. Who's to say that tomorrow we won't get some guy who's got 20 brothers and sisters?
True. There was somebody else that had 16. They were saying they had a lot of children. I didn't know why I got you beat.
Didn't take long, did it?
Yeah. Well,
hey, hold on a second.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Thanks for listening. We've got to do a quick commercial break. We'll come right back and start the 1980s show. Glad you're with us. We'll be right back.
Radio God.
I give up cheese for the British Shoeing Pair.
Don and Mike. Howard Stern. Don and Mike. G. Gordon Liddy. The Grease Man. We know their names.
Come on now, everybody.
We say them loud. WJFK.
Here.
Howard Stern. Mornings 6 to 11. Don and Mike. Afternoons 2 till 7. G. Gordon Liddy. Middays 11 till 2. The Grease Man. Evenings 7 to 11. WJFK.
3:32. Now the traffic here is the beauteous Sherry Licker. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Don and Mike. In Prince George's County, watch for an accident now on the outer loop of the Beltway between the BW Parkway and Kenilworth Avenue. That blocks two left lanes. Watch for another accident. Aspen Hill at Parkland Road. Lights are on flash in Montgomery County. River Road and Goldsboro Road. The outer loop of the Beltway closed at Route 1 for the Wilson Bridge. And southbound 395 is collecting volume as you leave the Pentagon. I'm Sherry Licker, Metro Traffic Control for WJFK.
The real reason Michael Eisen
Eisner had a triple bypass. The Don and Mike Show.
Howdy, hi. Thank you for listening. Great radio stations like these across America. News Talk 610 WIOD. Miami, Florida. Hot Talk. KHDK, Sacramento, California. And WTNW, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. This song here, Call Me Blondie American Gigolo, 1980.
Really?
We're going to start right at the very beginning of the decade and work our way through the end.
We met Blondie one time, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Oh, hold on. I got a couple of other things that are show-related before we start the 80s show. I apologize. First, this is something I guess we could do in a letter or a phone call, but it's easier just to do it on the radio. We were cutting a bunch of promos today for affiliate stations, and we did one for our station in Massachusetts.
Yes.
And it was kind of a raw one. Had a lot of dirty words in it, and we're hoping that they run it. We've edited it. Now, have we made the correct edits this time?
I hope so.
We'll find out. We've edited this promo. I don't want the people at WXXW989XX to be dismayed when they get a promo from us that has all kinds of bad language in it.
So we went ahead and took the liberty of making the edits ourselves so as not to offend anyone.
So listen, when you get that reel of tapes that has us saying listen to our show and you get to this one,
yeah,
don't throw it away.
You can use it if you want to.
Right, yeah, edit it like we have. Here, this is from our session this morning when we were cutting liners.
Hello, I'm Don.
And I'm Mike.
And we are pleased as punch. Man, we're happy as pigs and to be on 98.9 XX. Hey, let's do a promo like this and let them beep out all of the expletives.
You know, I am familiar with Worcester. It is a great town.
Can I tell you something about Worcester, Massachusetts?
What's that, Don?
You know what I love best about Worcester, Massachusetts?
Tell me what you love best about Worcester.
The women,
oh,
do they love to screw. Man, do the women love to screw in Worcester, Massachusetts. And let's not forget Webster, Massachusetts.
Worcester and Webster. It's one of the things that make both areas great kicking towns.
You're fuck right. So listen to our show every day, okay?
It's fuck faces.
98.9 double X FM. You know what the F stands for.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That was close. We beeped out all the dirty words, though.
Good job, Button Broy. I'm going to call you Button Broyhill.
Well, you could have had a little more tone in there, though. Just a little more tone between the beginning and the end of the words.
Yeah, it looks like you played with those a little bit.
We heard that about 10 minutes before we went on the air today, when it was edited a lot looser than that. When it just sounded like you couldn't even hear the beep.
That's right.
So listen, that's what you should do with that up there in Worcester. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, we thought you'd like it.
We love just going in a studio and pretending like we're on the radio and do all of those dumb things. Now, one other thing about an affiliate station, then on with the 1980s show. You remember, was it last week or the week before that we had the Save the Show campaign down there in Tuscaloosa, Alabama?
Last week.
And do you remember Forrest Gump, the general manager of that station, what his name is?
I believe his name is Jimbo.
No, that was the guy from yesterday's show. What's the guy's name, Diana?
Wayne?
Warren Kirk. Thank you, Diana, via the intercom, Warren Kirk. Well, now, we have something about this station, some good news for them. Buzz has brought this in before. It's something that the Associated Press sends over the wire, right?
Right.
In the newsroom.
Right. It's actually from ABC. It goes along with their little commercial feed that they give to all the stations. They have a little contest for the radio stations that are on the ABC network, and it's like a cash call.
And that's exactly what it says right here on the bottom where, you see, there's all the news stories of the day for the ABC network that Buzz goes through to pick out for the Buzzcast. Then it says, cash call jackpot. No winner yesterday. Today's cash jackpot is $30.
Mm-hmm.
Today's station is WTNW Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They have until 5 o'clock to call, and then there's a phone number with the correct amount, and the station will win $30.
Well, every little bit helps. I think that's a great idea. You know, you don't collect stuff like that.
It's too bad this didn't happen to our station in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
I'm going to say you end up like Harrisburg.
We're going up there.
When?
I believe, what's the date, Diane? Is it next Thursday? Sometime next week, we're going up to Harrisburg, do the show right from Mix 99.3.
Right. We used to have a guy who worked here named Joe who would schedule the commercials on this radio station, and he actually won $30 in this little cash call before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, ow. That's right. I got the fax number.
Oh, the pain.
Obviously, I've received the fax number. Hey, does anybody have the business line for this station?
Come on, we should have that around there somewhere.
So we can call Warren James T. Kirk, you Klingon bastard.
Warren, who didn't seem to get it when we had a conversation with him, but we had a great deal of people in Tuscaloosa that turned out at the phone booth.
And this would be $30. Good news for the station.
Sure. And hey, the best thing to do with that $30 is to hand it out to listeners.
Diana, you got that number for me?
Come on.
Look it up.
Oh, keep looking it up.
Remember, your future is on the line right now.
Looking for the number in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Okay, five. Counting down to firing. Four.
Two longs and a short, isn't it?
Three. Two. Well, clean out your... But hold on. Don't clean it out before you give me the phone number. Get me the phone number.
We are trying to get the phone number of our affiliate in beautiful, scenic, Crimson Tide, Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
That's right. This is how a big-time radio show works.
It's a well-oiled machine.
Some might say, Don Mike, how come you just don't have a phone book?
We're not bright enough to do that. Yeah, come on. I mean, what do you expect from us? Phone book?
Diana?
Oh, Diana.
What is she doing now? They've changed the number at the radio station.
Do you ever think...
We have to call information to get it.
Do you ever think how much of our lives you and I have spent worthlessly padding?
Yeah, and especially I think about it when I'm driving home after a show like yesterday. I would say yesterday's show, the first 3.5 hours was fine all-American entertainment, the same kind of slap-happy stuff we deliver on a daily basis. But that last half hour, P-A-D.
Man, we were pad maniacs.
I mean, you got the Forrest Gump guy who wasn't there, the guy that wrote the Disney book that wasn't there, and then the Butterball turkey that would never take our calls.
And all we were doing was padding.
Like we are now.
We're padding now. There's the number.
Thanks, Rob.
They changed the number. They probably changed the number for us.
Yeah,
that could be. Change that number. I don't want them calling no more.
Hold on.
Warren, we got a lot of people out of the phone book. I don't care. I want that number changed.
Just dialed.
And this would be one of those times where I am aging and padding at the same time.
I'm back with you. I'm done dialing. I'm back with you. I'm ready to help pad.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Hi, listen, is Warren Kirk there?
No, Warren Gump is not here. This is Stephanie Birmingham, the program director. Can I help you?
Oh, we didn't get it. Oh, yeah, we talked to you briefly.
Yeah, we did.
The girl program director, remember?
Yes. Meow. Hey, listen, Buzz Burbank was looking on his ABC Newswire.
Yeah.
And saw that today, WTNW Tuscaloosa, Alabama can win
$30. 30 bucks?
Yeah.
Do you know what that'll buy in Alabama?
Buzz, explain to me how this works again now with the ABC radio network.
I don't know. I guess every day ABC chooses one of its affiliates at random. And if that affiliate calls ABC by 5 o'clock Eastern time, then they get however much money is in the little cash called jackpot.
Hey, listen, what's your first name again? I'm sorry?
Stephanie,
hold on. I'm going to dial the number and put you on with that.
Oh, okay.
Hold on a second. Hey, Don?
Yes, Mike.
Do you have any idea how much that'll make it? How much that'll buy?
Warren, you know, this lady, I got to tell you, yeah. Stephanie balances Warren beautifully. You need a program director like this when you've got Warren.
She called us back after we did this thing last time, and she was very enthusiastic about the turnout. Yeah.
She's got some Rolanda in her.
Oh, you think she's Barbara Moriarty?
She got some Rolanda in her.
Oh, man.
I'm not at the office until Monday, November 14th.
Oh, that's great.
Hold on.
She's taking a powder.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Maybe I've dialed the wrong number. Hold on a second. Bear with me.
I was on the treadmill today watching Rolanda, and I had Laura turn the TV up, and I didn't have the remote, and I didn't want to get off the treadmill, and it was turned up too loud. When Rolanda came back, I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown.
Here's what
I'm
Rolanda
in me, they said.
What's that?
Do I have Rolanda in me?
Yes, you do. She projects. And so do you, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. Don or Mike, whichever one you are. So what's going on?
There we go.
We just got
through to New York. Barbara Moriarty at the ABC Radio Network.
Oh.
I'm out at the office until Monday, November 14th. For further assistance, please call Brenda Morgan at 212-456-5604. Thank you.
This sounds to me like we don't have the only well-oiled machine. Half the network is out of the office.
For goodness sakes, how's the station supposed to get us $30 in cash? Okay, Stephanie, Rolanda?
Okay, here we go.
Now, we called the other number.
Okay. What other number?
The number that she gave out.
Okay.
So you can get your $30.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
My $30 or the station's
$30? Station's $30.
$30.
It was excuses for crime.
Brenda Morgan, at the tone, please leave your name and telephone number, and your call will be returned. If you have a technical problem, please call our TOC at 212-456-5555.
Well, should I call that number?
Yeah, call that number. Right. See, you know, this is cash.
Hold on.
We're talking about cash here.
We're talking about $30.
All right, hold on a second.
Talk till we get a warm human body.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, Rolanda.
It was excuses for crime on today's Rolanda. I heard that from the highest mountaintop. That was reverberating through the walls of my house. Excuses for crime on today's Rolanda. Stay on the treadmill, Mike. Don't get off it.
And when you watch Rolanda, do you get the same feeling as me that there is a woman who could challenge Bonnie Franklin?
Oh, we got that. There you go.
You say,
yes, hello, is this ABC? ABC?
Yeah.
Hi, listen, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now. Our station in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is the winner of the cash call jackpot on the ABC radio network.
Oh, okay, let me get you into somebody. Okay, hold
Thank
on.
Thank you.
First call I've gotten in 15 years.
That's incredibly patient.
Hold on.
First call I've gotten in 15 years.
That I've gotten. I mean, they normally call directly into the office.
Yeah, we did, but none of those babes are in their office.
Yeah, right. You don't want to lose this.
Yeah, we don't. That's why it's so important to us. That's why we're wasting our valuable network time with this.
First call I've gotten in 15 years. Who's whistling? Is that the guy at ABC?
It's Stephanie.
Or is it Stephanie?
It's Stephanie.
That's Stephanie. Mm. So what are your aspirations for radio? You certainly can't be happy just in Tuscaloosa.
Just in Tuscaloosa?
What is your goal in radio, huh?
Sometimes I think I want to be like Don and Mike, but then I realize I just want to be Don and Mike. I guess that's it.
Did we just get
Hello?
On the phone?
Did the guy on the other line just hang up on us? Please, no.
Who was on the other line?
Who was on the... It was the people from ABC.
Would you mind taking that out of the air studio? It smells like somebody's sock.
What are you doing back there, Charlie?
Charles, what are you eating? It smells awful.
Look at it. He's got stuff on the turntable. He has jalapeno peppers and mayonnaise.
What is that?
Mayonnaise, Jerry.
Man, you want to put it...
Come on, it smells like something came out of my butt. What is this?
What is it?
That is some rancid tuna fish creation.
God, don't put lettuce on it. Put an odor eater on it.
Hello?
Hello?
ABC?
No, it's Stephanie Birmingham. Sorry.
Stephanie, would that be Birmingham, like Birmingham, Alabama?
Sure, like Birmingham, Alabama, something like that.
Charles, I'm serious. It's a thing.
Please don't eat in here. Please take it out of here.
For help. Hold
on.
H. If you have system weight, press star W. If you
please
hang up. Or to disconnect audits, press star.
It's lingering.
Hey, now I'm going to try the F one.
Yeah, well, we die from asphyxiation. Well, we die from
Stephanie! What a stupid show this is. What a stupid show we have. All right, listen, I don't know about your $30. I don't know. And Buzz, never bring this stuff in again.
I'm sorry.
Never bring this in again.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
All right, Stephanie, we got an 80s show to do. Go down there and
I'm playing Simon with the phone. What?
Go reap the benefits of running our show on your station.
Oh, come on.
Go put your
$30.
Go put your feet up now, knowing that your day of work is done because you've got our show on your station.
And thanks for the whistling. Thanks for the whistling. We really appreciate it.
Will I get the $30?
We'll get you $30.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. There's Stephanie.
Well, man, what a combo that is. Warren and Stephanie. And tuna fish.
Write your own joke. And $30. If you want $30. You can write your own joke there. Now, let's do a commercial break. That's just what we need now. Some commercials. That'll get the listener interest back up in the show.
We'll work out. We'll practice our padding during the commercial break.
We'll be right back in the next break. Promise. We start the 1980s show. Even though we've had the 1980s show on the air for an hour now, we haven't talked about it yet.
Got plenty of time for the 80s show.
We'll start it next day right there.
You realize this is being broadcast, don't you?
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK's out.
Speaking for everybody that works on the show, with the possible exception of Sherry, who's got that funny thing happening with her age, mm-hmm. By the time the 1980s rolled around, we were all, right, most of us pretty much functioning members of society.
Well, we were on the radio.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I think we'd all gotten into the racket.
The year 1980, that's...
that's what I call it, too, a racket.
Yeah. That's where we'll start now, 1980, where we had some really, really bad music. If you think at any time during the show today, you're going to be hearing songs that bring back great memories, I'm here to tell you ain't going to hear those on this show.
Man, it really makes me feel queasy when the disco show overlaps the 80s show.
Yep, this was the last part of disco. Yep, Lips Incorporated.
Talk about it.
You know, the only thing that would make this worse would be maybe some stupid radio jingles.
Radio 95, WPLJ.
back in the 70s, and he's still driving audiences wild in the 90s. Elton. Elton John. That's back when it was Elton bi or straight back then, Mike.
What's this one called, Don? A Little Chili?
Nah. Dedicate this to Judy. Hey, little Judy, baby. Oh, little Judy.
More incredible, stupid disco music. Remember, we're just coming off the 70s now. This is 1980. Okay.
Oh, hey, hold on. We got a winner break right now. Hi, it's me, Donnie on the radio. Chances some show flurries tonight. Hope that loaded 20s high tomorrow up in the 70s again. Crazy world we live in now. You get snow in the nighttime and sunshine. I shiver to you every day.
Actually, it's always sunny, right? You know, there are some stupid radio stations that call themselves like Sunny 95.
Yeah, where it's always sunny.
It's always sunny at 95. This is also from 1980, the Pointer Sisters.
This little ditty called He's So Shy.
Music is not getting any better, is it?
But you can feel it easing out of the disco.
These are the biggest hits of the year 1980.
Oh no!
And I love you too. You big bloated Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Oh man!
Hey, I got a story about him too. It's very similar to the Lauren Tweez story,
the one about you on the boat.
Yeah, I met Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Band, went down on a boat in Florida, and all this coke on that boat. Hey, I love you so. And it has been my experience when I'm around something like that, I run like a baby. I said, let me off the boat right now.
So the boat was at a dock? I was going to say, if you ran off the boat, you would have drowned.
No, I went dead and go. I had to go to a dock.
Oh, man.
Captain and Toenail, we had a big discussion about toenails yesterday on the show.
That's what we always say to Ken Stevens when we see him.
Do that to me one more time. Do you remember how many kids in the early 1980s, and I'm serious about this, young 18, 19-year-olds getting married, really naming their babies Tennille?
Yeah, because she was so darn popular.
Who didn't love her, huh?
I had to change my name, because my parents named me Captain. The amazing Captain, V100. Hey, Captain.
All right, then we hear this one, and we're done with the songs from the year 1980, at least the top Billboard hits of the day.
This is one of those last few songs that had the bells.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, for me, there's a difference between disco and soul music.
Yes.
And I guess this is disco. I was going to say this is soul, but I guess, who am I kidding? This is the,
this is nothing more than this is a dance music. That's not soul music at all.
All right. That's 1980 right here. Good, we got 1980 out of the way.
If you want soul music, you have to get something from the Hughes Corporation.
Now, let me see. If I go to our actuality tape, we have a bunch of news events from the year 1980. Oh, and please let me open the telephone lines. We are ready to believe you with your messages, your memories, and your requests. We'll play what we got from the 80s. Here's our phone number, as always, 1-800-636-1067. This is the format for the 1980 show.
All right.
We'll play 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seconds of a song until we're sick of it. Then we'll play another song. We'll play stupid jingles and stupid tapes. And you call, and that's how we fill the time.
That's it.
From 1980, the first thing a lot of us remember from 1980, when the hockey team won the gold medal against the Russians.
5 seconds to the gold medal. 4 to the gold medal. It's impossible. 3. Come
through. Oh, man. You know, the quote from him, though, is, do you believe in miracles? Yes.
All right, next one from March of 1980.
Can I tell a story about that, too, before we go on there? We were, I was at American University, and they were, a lot of the Olympics were on tape delay, and they made a very big point. Jim McKay at ABC made a very big point of saying, we are not going to let you know what the outcome of this hockey game is. We know a lot of people want to see what happens. We are not going to reveal it. And throughout the entire afternoon, they were saying this on ABC, and they were going to run the game at night. And as soon as they got done doing it, a local anchor woman who's now on nationwide television,
who?
Renee Poussin, came on as soon as ABC Sports had made this big deal about the Russians against the Americans, and we're not going to let you know what the score is so you can enjoy the game yourself and see if America wins the gold. And 5 seconds after that, they go to the local feed and she said, "The Americans win the gold. The story coming up at 6 o'clock." And we all, I'll never forget her for that. And now she's working for ABC Network herself, I think.
Well, someday you'll exact your revenge, Mike.
Someday revenge will be mine.
Oh, yes, and it'll be sweet. Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, Radio Gods?
Hi.
Hey, man, I got a couple memories for you.
Okay.
Cabbage Nuts Kids and the Garbage Pail Kids collector's cards.
Yeah.
And the Flock of Seagulls, Iran.
Flock of Seagulls, Iran. And wasn't that one of those songs?
Early techno-punk.
Yeah, when it came out, everybody said, "Wow, this is so incredible, like that they got the sound effects happening during the songs, man." And now you hear this, and it sounds like every other techno piece of crap that's out that's got a drum machine on it. This is it, right? This is the one you're thinking about?
Yeah.
Iran, so far away. Hey, let me do a little DJ mix. While you're listening to the intro of this song from 1980, let's also listen to John Wayne Gacy being convicted.
The jury took less than 2 hours to reach its verdict. Remarkably fast when you consider they had 33 separate murders to consider. They found him guilty on all counts, flatly rejecting defense arguments that he was and is insane. Gacy committed his murders over a 7-year period of time, stashing most of the bodies under his house, throwing some in nearby rivers. Parents of some of the victims were in the courtroom as the verdict was read. Many wept. All seemed satisfied that justice has been served. But as one mother said, "It won't bring back my son." Jim Johnson, ABC News, Chicago.
Let me get my clown nose.
Hey, that's Jim Johnson. I used to work with that guy at WLS, for goodness sakes.
And wow, that brings it all back, doesn't it?
Kind of makes some of our jokes seem kind of sick now, doesn't it, huh?
I'm feeling a little guilty now.
All right, let's get one more in before they start singing. Jimmy Carter announces that we will not go to the Olympics.
I can't say at this moment what other nations will not go to the Summer Olympics in Moscow. Ours will not go.
And that was based on the invasion of Afghanistan? Was that what it was? What was the reason? I'm trying to go back and...
A better man than me, I believe. You know, that's correct.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I got no idea. Yeah. I was just enjoying the music.
Well, you still have the DJ mix, Touch My Gods.
You still have what?
You still have the DJ mix type.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Right on. Thank you. We do appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
I'll get my 20 brothers.
Okay. Hello, to his 20 brothers. Don Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hold on a second. What am I running here now? Wait a minute. Still, it's something else from the year 1980.
I aim to try and tap that great American spirit opened up this completely undeveloped continent from coast to coast and made it a great nation, survived several wars, survived a Great Depression, and we'll survive the problems that we face right now.
And, of course, Ron Reagan.
That's the beginning of all of it.
Oh,
New York City police were at the scene in a matter of minutes. They say the gunman didn't run. He was stoic, as one police
officer
described him after being taken into arrest. Lennon is said to have given the man his autograph earlier in the day. Lennon staggered into his apartment building after the shooting. Policeman James Moran, who was in the car that rushed Lennon to the hospital, told me Lennon was shot point blank. His shirt was red with blood. He was at best semi-conscious during the trip. Paramedics were waiting at the hospital door. Ian Hunter, ABC News, New York.
That is one that I'm sure everybody remembers where they were. I'm sure a lot of you remember that like I do. I was at my friend Igor's house. That's his real name, I-G-O-R.
You and your friends.
Igor.
Flame Igor.
No, this was not one of my teenage high school friends. This guy was a record guy.
Yeah.
Igor. I'm sitting on Igor's couch.
He also made Monza.
And we're watching Monday Night Football. And we had kicked back a couple of beverages. And I remember the New England Patriots were playing. It was a very rainy night. And I said, "Igor, I'm going to go get us a couple more beers." And he says, "Fine." I'm out there, I'm getting the beers, and all of a sudden I hear Igor say, "Howard Cosell just said that John Lennon is dead."
Oh, man.
And I remember coming back and thinking, no, we've had a few too many beer. And how odd that was to have Howard Cosell be the one to announce and have Howard Cosell eulogize John Lennon. I mean, Howard Cosell, in the role that he was in, did a fine job.
Sure.
But, man, what a weird way to find out about that. That's
strange.
I know a lot of people heard about it like that. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hi, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you guys have been doing, like, all the disco stuff and everything, but...
You know, I'm from D.C., and punk stuff was happening big time right around the 80s. We had Bad Brains, Minor Threat, Black Market Baby. The whole underground movement was really happening hard.
That's a crap that nobody remembers, though.
Oh, man. But I was, like, into it big time back then.
Well, you might want to think about forgetting that.
Oh, come on. It was good.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. we had to move on, Mr. Bad Brains.
Black Market Baby.
Hello, Indianapolis. You are on the air.
Hi, Don. How you doing?
Hi, doing great, thank you.
Good. Thing I remember about that year.
1980?
Yeah, the song was Lost in Love by Air Supply.
We've certainly covered both sides of the spectrum here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Remember during the baseball playoffs that your Philadelphia was in it, and Pete Rose was playing first base for the Phillies. Every time the final out of an inning would be made, he would take the baseball and spike it.
I do not remember that. I tell you one thing. Hey, thanks for the call. I do remember one thing. I see we have some kind of a sound bite that I don't think we're going to be able to have time to get to. Richard Pryor sets himself on fire.
When was it? Was that a...
That was June 9th, 1980.
Wow.
That doesn't seem like that. It's possible that that was 1980, does it?
No, it does not seem that long ago.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Don?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to tell you that I have a new respect for you. Your timing and talking up a song is so perfect.
Oh, well, thank you. That is truly a God-given gift.
I'm not kidding.
And I thank my lucky stars every day that I'm able to be king of the stinking DJs.
I mean, it's perfect.
Well, thank you.
And I just want you to know.
It served me well. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Goodbye. Oh, look at you. You're blushing. That's right, Bob. And, you know, of all of the songs that were out in the 1980s, I've got a list right here. This was the number one song of the 1980s.
Because she was so pretty and the song was so naughty.
Hey, I'd love to jump your bones. You remember this piece of dung? Let's get physical. All I remember about this song is when Bill Murray used to come on and sing his version of it on Saturday Night Live.
Doing his lounge singer bit?
Yeah. Now, that was good. And what was this fascination that we seemed to have with Olivia Newton-John for a while as a nation?
Yeah, didn't you and I have it personally for a while there, too?
I believe that's simply young men.
Yeah.
Young men coming into their own, Mike, if you pardon the pun.
Remember the album cover where she had, like, the big headband on, the big head wrap, and she was wearing some kind of, like, aerobics outfit?
Was that, no, hold on. Or was that the one where she's standing in a field, and the album cover, like, folded into three separate parts, and it was almost like a pin-up thing of her?
Or is it the one where she's standing? I thought she was standing in a field of daisies, and then she was topless. Right? Oh no, I'm sorry, that was a dream.
And she had this. I guess
she was.
Yeah. Maybe that's another. Hey, we got to do a break here. Yeah. All right. I got your hot hits right here. Okay, that's 1980. Although, well, we didn't get to our TV tapes from 1980. We'll come right back from this break. I see we have all the calls lined up now. We'll dive into 1981 next. Stay right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
All the cool shows.
Always love to hear them.
Howard Stern all morning. Don and Mike all afternoon. G. Gordon Liddy midday. The Grease Man at night. WJFK.
12 minutes after 4. It must have been that last topic we were talking about.
Hey, it's election week. Bring it up for another vote.
Here is Sherry Licker. Hi, Sher.
Hi, Don and Mike. If you're leaving the district outbound New York Avenue and flown out from the Heck Company warehouse over to Bladensburg Road, watch for an accident northbound Kenilworth Avenue before the stadium. That accident squeezes the right lane. Delays begin after Pennsylvania Avenue. An accident now eastbound on the freeway before South Capitol Street. That's also in the right lane. Delays begin at the Case Bridge. Another one outbound on the Douglas Bridge, also in the right lane. Delays for that also begin on the Case Bridge. And the Adelaide Beltway slows at Route 1 if you're headed for the Wilson Bridge. I'm Sherry Licker, Metro Traffic Control for WJFK.
Bully, bully.
WJFK.
They can take a nothing day and suddenly make it seem worthwhile. Don and Mike.
This brings back some tragic memories, huh?
Oh, yeah. I colored my hair Harlow Gold right after this was released.
We are back on great radio stations like Sports Radio KCKACY, Lafayette, Louisiana, 1010 Talks, WQYK, Tampa Bay, Florida, and WERE. In Cleveland, it's our 1980s show. And we're up to 1981 now. You know that that is Stinky Kim Carnes and Betty Davis. That's the official name she's known as in DJ circles, Mike.
If you were managing her, every concert she did would be, ladies and gentlemen, it's Stinky Kim Carnes.
And does anybody remember this guy from General Hospital? Mm-hmm. He's a pretty boy.
Rick Springfield.
I love him.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, I love him.
A lot of women did.
Wasn't this around the time on General Hospital, Sherry, when Elizabeth Taylor was on and there was a plan where they were going to freeze the world and,
yeah,
and Luke and Laura saved the world?
Yeah, it was the most bizarre plot they had ever... They had really taken it to an extreme. And Elizabeth Taylor was linked with Luke. Remember Luke and Laura?
Yeah, who were the Greek guys? Who were the evil Greek men?
Oh, I know who you mean, but I don't remember their names. Yeah, the Considines or something like that, yeah. That's right.
Now, we all sure do know a lot about that show for having supposedly not watched that show.
Retracting those soap opera memories.
Here you go, for that guy that requested some air supply. Hope that choke on it.
Now the night has gone. Now the night
what was wrong with us?
Remember when I first heard this song? Is this a man or a woman?
Doesn't seem that long.
You know, but it seems every decade has their air supply. There was Barry Manilow in the 1970s, and then there was air supply. And now I think the modern day, you know, we're going to be in 10 years goofing on Michael Bolton like
you're
crazy.
Right. Michael Bolton
is already.
Yeah, it started early.
We have the right.
How does a guy get a voice like that?
Shut up.
is that their song, Making Money Out of Nothing at All?
Oh, hey, that's kind of a DJ joke, bro. Yeah. I was making love out of nothing. Hey, speaking of big ones,
here's the lady we both like.
Here's Dolly Parton.
Stumbled out of bed and stumbled to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition. Yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
Well, we're up to 1981. Music's not any better.
In the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street, the traffic starts pumping.
Here's what we were watching on television in the year 1981, when we were listening to dumb songs like this on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Dallas, that was the number one show,
right?
You know, Who Shot JR? And now, is it any wonder we're hearing this Dolly Parton crap? The number two television show was The Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, remember Daisy?
Number three? What? Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. You know, sometimes you hit a subject with me that's a speed bump.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
Dukes of Hazzard is a big speed bump with me.
Well, you know, the guy that played Cooter on the Dukes of Hazzard recently lost his bid, I think, was it a congressional seat? I believe it was a congressional seat. He was going to be, just like Gopher, he was going to try to go to the Congress.
I remember when we had that story on a couple of days ago, my problem with Dukes of Hazzard is,
yes,
for whatever reason, and I've liked a lot of crap on television,
uh-huh,
Dukes of Hazzard has always been below me. And I have never, I couldn't tell you the characters on Dukes of Hazzard. I couldn't tell you anything about the show. I never watched it.
I want so badly right now to be able to say I did watch it, and I could tell you the characters, but the only one I remember was that the girl, Daisy. She was Barbara... No, not Barbara Bach.
But not Barbara Bush.
Barbara Bush.
Barbara Bush. Nice Bush. I don't think it was Barbara Bush. Her name was... What was her name? Cynthia? Catherine Bach?
Catherine Bach.
This is Juice Newton. No, that's her name. Juice
I know. I remember. I interviewed Juice Newton in the 80s.
See, what you're hearing now is the changes that music go through. We got all discoed out. Hey, go and play, Mike.
Hey, everybody, let's dance. Air guitar
for you. You know, that for me, that is really deja vu like, because when this song was out, I was playing that jingle on that station in that city.
Right?
And playing this song, hey everybody, 4 o'clock, and here's Hall & Oates. You know, Hall & Oates started to bridge the gap from disco to country to rock. We eventually became sick of Hall & Oates and all of their mayonnaise-like songs.
But I will tell you that I think Hall & Oates was a bright musical memory of the 80s. I really think they had some music that was tolerable.
At least they moved it more in the right direction, I think. Huh? What was the deal with those guys? Did they like girls, Hall & Oates?
Oh, yeah, sure. I think so.
What about the tall one?
Daryl? Daryl Hall?
Daryl Hall, yeah, from the short one, John Oates.
I think they were both... Well, they had that one album cover, the sort of silvery album cover, where they both had on
makeup,
ladies,
yeah.
Women's makeup.
Remember that, too?
That, that was the 80s, too. I was wearing makeup in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Your kid is on my list. Also in 1980, we were watching MASH, 60 Minutes, The Love Boat, The Jeffersons, Alice, Three's Company, Little House on the Prairie. We're also watching One Day at a Time with Bonnie Franklin, who can get 8 tennis balls in her mouth. Archie Bunker's Place. Magnum P.I. That was a new hot show in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Days, Too Close for Comfort. Fantasy Island, Different Strokes. What you're talking about. Monday Night Football. Laverne and Shirley. That's Incredible. And Chips. Those were the top TV shows from 1981.
And this song would be played from here on out at every wedding known to mankind.
Including yours, Mike. You remember that magic moment when I stood up on the bandstand, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Mike O'Mara.
You were wearing that leisure suit that you still have from the 70s. It was a grind.
All right, let's take some calls here, and then we'll hear the sound bites from 1981 and also some TV memories. Doesn't matter which line I go to, huh? Hello, Fresno, California. You are on the air.
Yes.
Hi.
This is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Before I tell my 80s thing, can I give you a comment I heard about from one of your radio detractors?
Hey, sure. Why not bring the show down?
No.
why not bring the show down from someone who says
it was Tom Likas. You heard of him?
Tom Likas?
Yeah.
We saw Tom Likas.
He claimed that... he was making a call. He says, yeah, I heard these two guys, Don and Mike, on the radio doing their NFL picks.
Yeah.
And I guess some of your shows play your day late or something on some of your shows?
No.
Well, that's what he claimed. Anyway, he says no wonder they're only on 26 channels because of that.
26 channels. Well, it wouldn't surprise me if Tom Likas was to say channels.
Well, whatever. You know,
that would be.
Uh-huh. Hey, listen, thanks. That's a real pick-me-up. Hey,
Headroom. Remember him?
Yes.
Now, what about him? He came out in the 80s, didn't he?
Yeah, yes, he did. Max Headroom's TV show came out in the 80s.
Didn't he have a TV series or something, too?
An ill-fated TV series.
Yeah.
That's right. And didn't it start out with Coca-Cola commercials where
he was
Max Headroom was there?
Yeah, I think so.
That's right.
Hey, great call.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Hey, listen, you got to learn. Everybody talks about everybody in radio. And my message for all of them, you can kiss my ass.
Well,
you hear me? That's for Don Imus. That's for Tom Likas. That's for every other Tom, Dick, and Harry disc jockey. That's my comment. Kiss my ass.
He wanted to get into Washington Station, their station or whatever. And so he says, hey, I hope they mention my name. One of his listeners is bound to mention my name so I can get my name in Washington.
Do you believe everything this moron says on the radio?
Nothing at all.
Then don't repeat it to me.
I guess you guys don't want to get the Donner Street, do you?
And, you know, we're on a site more stations than he mentions. So.
I know you're 30.
And they're not channels, they're stations.
Well.
And we got better stations already, than Tom Likas does.
Not a DJ.
What?
I'm a radio listener, not a DJ.
Are you the kind of guy that goes to parties and, like, inside of 5 minutes, you really, like, piss off the host and hostess?
Hey, listen, this is a really great party, but, oh, man, where'd you buy your furniture?
Hey, I want you to know that.
Hey, this is a really good party. Is this shrimp bad? This shrimp really tastes bad, everybody.
Hey, I was just talking to one of your neighbors, and he says, your wife's got a really huge ass. Come on, friend.
Thanks for having me at the party, though.
Hidely ho, neighbor.
I want you to know, though, everything I watch on TV, I always seem to watch it through the eyes of Don and Mike.
Sure, of course you do. All right, goodbye. Goodbye.
Thanks a lot.
Why don't you go crawl between Tom Likas' butt cheeks? Just make yourself a little campground there.
You know what he'd say? He'd say, hey, it's too hot in here.
Hello? Don and Mike, you know, now we're fighting. Listen, we're now fighting with DJs. I couldn't pick Tom Likas out of a lineup. I couldn't tell you anything about this guy's show.
Mm-hmm.
We're now being challenged to battle with DJs who've never even heard of before.
Tis the biz.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You are on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike. I grew up in the 80s, too. I wanted to know if you remember the song called Hot Rod Hearts by Robbie Dupree.
Robbie Dupree. Yeah, I sure do.
I remember that.
Do we have it?
Hot Rod Hearts. Do we have it?
I
Hey, hold on a second. No, oh, what do we have? The other one?
Steal Away.
Steal Away?
Oh, well, I'll put up with that.
Why don't we steal away? Dude, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hey, that's a good intro, though. That was a very Doobie Brothers, What a Fool Believes-esque intro.
Why don't you send one out to Tom Likas?
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
Hold on. Oh, now this does remind me of back when I worked in Chicago, 423 right now. Driving you home, driving you crazy. Dodge your automobile, 389, music radio, WLS. Boy, and if only you could really have said this on the radio back in 1983. I want to say hello to a big hemorrhoid. A huge hard-on of a guy. Real super loser. We saw this guy out at the DJ convention. He's like everything that you don't want a DJ to be. Big, fat, ugly, long hair. Name is Tom Likas. How dare you talk about us on your show. You'll be, hey, you just kiss my ass.
Come on in,
yes, welcome to Things You Couldn't Say in the Early 80s.
If I could show me.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, you don't like this one?
No.
Oh, I kind of do.
See, I was doing adult contemporary radio and playing this over and over.
Oh, this was a big hit on all kinds of radio stations.
Yeah. Big hit. A little smarmy. I think that's the reason. I think certainly these songs I played so many times that I just couldn't stand them.
Hey, thank you for the call, my friend.
No problem. Thanks, Don.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you. Hello, Auburn, California.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hi.
This is Mike from ICI Ceramics.
Hi, Mike.
We make tiles for the space shuttle up here. Hey, I wanted to remind you about Regivision came out in 1981. Remember Panasonic, the color sound cameras?
Oh, with Reggie Jackson doing the commercials. I'm with you.
And then also 1981, May 18th at 8:32 a.m. Pacific, Mount St. Helens.
Yeah, you know, since you say you make tiles for the space shuttle, I'm sure glad you didn't bring up that space shuttle memory of the 80s.
Ooh, I know.
Although the chilling memory that you and I shared.
Yeah, and when we get to that, we do have the actual tape of that. And we got a story about that, too. Thanks for the call.
Mount St. Helens kicked a lot of ash.
Okay. Okay. Here we have now Jimmy Carter.
With Iran.
1981.
Which will result, I believe, in the freedom of our American hostages.
All right, that'd be January 81 because Reagan had already been elected president, and that's right when that happened. Right?
On the same day,
the
same day that Carter announces that the hostages are released, that is the same day that Reagan is sworn in as president.
That's right.
And here's that, I hope. Now.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, sir.
Now we got a couple of scary ones coming up. Oh, we got a break for commercials, but hold on. Here's the attempted Reagan assassination with John Hinckley. Then I think we'll hear Sam Donaldson, and then we'll end with Alexander Haig screaming to anybody who will listen that he's in charge.
And I remember that one because I was in a grocery store when that happened. Overheard two people talking about it.
All right, then. Here's Sam Donaldson on ABC that night, or I guess that afternoon when it happened, commented about
it. Shots rang out as President Reagan was leaving the hotel and about to enter his limousine. At least one person was hit and fell to the sidewalk with blood coming from his body. It was not the president. I don't know whether the president was hit. I do not believe he was. His car left rapidly under police escort. The shots were fired by someone in the crowd of people watching the president depart.
All right, and then one more. Here is Alexander Haig screaming to anybody who will care when he is in charge.
Now I am in control here in the White House, pending return of the vice president, and in close touch with him. If something came up, I would check with him, of course.
Yeah, there he is. He's in charge. And with that, we bid a fond adieu to the... the year 1981.
Let's take a walk on the beach now.
You remember this? If you remember when this song came out, it was so controversial because you're talking about making love on a beach through a personal ad.
And you're drunk because you've been drinking those drinks.
I was tired of my lady.
This, of course, is Rupert Pupkin.
Been together so long.
No, Rupert. Rupert Holmes. Rupert Pupkin's the guy from King of Comedy. Hey, a great movie that came out in the 1980s. We should get our tapes from that movie.
Rupert Pupkin.
Yeah. Ma! Down there with the cutouts doing his own Johnny Carson show.
That's right. He's a good singer, too.
Hey, let's go to break. Let's all sing, okay? Cher, Buzz.
Do you like piña coladas?
Holding. Holding your...
We can never really make out the words.
Never mind.
You like Major Love at Midnight?
We'll be right back.
Radio Gods, Don and Mike.
Now we found the old music again.
All right.
Thousands of you, if not millions of you, have in the course of your life taken a sip of a non-alcoholic brew and use a variation of the word yuck, and that's yuck with a Y. Why not?
Then you said, get this swill away from me. Bring me a carrot juice, a yogurt shake, anything but this stuff.
Hey, it's Vinny the Elf. Vinny, you know, right around Thanksgiving, we'll be wanting you to come back and make your daily appearances on the show to talk to the little kids.
Well, to be honest with you, we're in negotiation. If we can pull it together, I'll be glad to drop by, but I just came by to do this. I'm with the Buckler people.
Buckler is the crisp, refreshing, non-alcoholic brew that's actually brewed by the people that make Heineken, or that means you're guaranteed a full-flavored, hearty, imported taste if you get it without the alcohol.
Hard to believe, but it's true.
Buckler will have you convinced what you're drinking is an imported beer because the flavor is that rich and satisfying.
So if your experience with non-alcoholic brews has been, shall we say, not particularly tasteful up till now, try a Buckler.
B-U-C-K-L-E-R. The only thing closer to beer is beer. Vince.
Buckler's imported by me and Munchie and Comet in New York.
Howard Stern. Don and Mike. G. Gordon Liddy. The Grease Man. All day. Every waking moment.
But who is this?
434, back to the 1980s. After this look at the 1990s traffic, here is Sherry Licker. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Don and Mike. This traffic report is brought to you by Bell Atlantic Mobile. The inner loop of the Beltway is slow now from Old Georgetown Road over to an accident on the right shoulder after Georgia Avenue. Northbound 270, your delays are from Middlebrook over to 118. Westbound 66, slow now from 50 out to Fair Lakes with all lanes open. And southbound 95, just the usual delays from the Beltway off and on down into Woodbridge. This fall at Bell Atlantic Mobile, save 10 to 60% on select cellular phones. Annual contract required. Offer expires November 15th, 1994. Call 1-800-255-BELL. I'm Sherry Licker, Metro Traffic Control for WJFK.
What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy? The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Paul Turner, and thanks for listening, everybody. We're back doing the 1980s thing.
Oh, I love this song.
Now we're up to 1982. See how things have already started to change. Things have started to change towards the better.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think you'll find, at least it's my personal opinion, that music was really great around this time, from 1980, from about 82
right
to about 85. Things, as far as I see them, are on a super upswing, with the possible exception of Boy George.
After 85, a very quick decline.
Yeah, and then things got real bad. Well, you'll hear that as the show moves on. Let's get on some requests right now, and then on with the program. Oh, let's do the one off the record first. Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, you.
I have some great 80s memories for you.
Okay.
We've got Leg Warmers.
Yes, ma'am.
Mary Lou Retton haircut.
Oh, yeah, America's newest bundle of energy.
Big time. Pac-Man.
Until the 80s.
And when did you have sex with Gene Simmons?
No, I haven't had sex with him.
But?
I met him at a private party. I went to a private party.
You met him at a private party and you didn't have sex with him?
Well, I was 6 months pregnant.
Oh, that's the reason. Well, now, otherwise, were you pregnant with his baby?
No. He looked surprised. I walked up. Long time for this, but he rubbed my stomach and
sure, he wanted you. It didn't matter to him you're 6 months pregnant. He wanted you. Hey, here's something that if you like Kiss, you're gonna like this. It's an old TV commercial. Remember when they had Kiss like G.I. Joe dolls out?
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Listen to this.
This is Kiss. It's sold separately, and you can put them in any crazy pose you want.
And we used to put them in all kinds of crazy poses with our G.I. Joes.
Kids, each 12.5-inch figure sold separately by Mego.
And then this, I think, was Kiss's crowning achievement, their best moment, when they had a song that was played by all the old stinky AM stations that my parents used to listen to. You used to get in the car and hear some guy go,
"But now here on WBBB is Kiss."
If I hear you coming.
You've got the best of Don and Mike.
Much more music! KCBQ! San Diego!
I did a weekend shift once at a station in San Diego. B100, you ever heard of that station?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that station, it was KFMB. KFMB.
FM.
San Diego, but they said it KFMBFM. I remember it was two separate sets about the year ago. It's 8 o'clock! KFM! BFM! San Diego! You know, there used to be radio stations that were run like that, with disc jockeys screaming at the top of their lungs. Oh, God. See how red my face is, Sherry? That's why I can't do that anymore. When I was younger, I used to be able to screen up all those intros.
Now your blood pressure gets high and, you know.
Yeah. Have to go in for another physical.
Shake it off.
Okay, I'm shaking it right now, Buzz. 1974.
David Essex.
Rock on. Yeah, you only rock once.
Ooh.
You know, it's one of the songs I never understood. He's singing about James Dean, right?
Jimmy Dean.
I don't think it's the sausage guy, the guy that sang "And Mama, I Owe You."
It's all about sausage.
I dig breakfast sausage biscuits all night long.
Egg McMuffin.
Ooh. Jimmy Dean, pure pork sausage.
Yeah, hey, dig the rock and roll.
You know, Jimmy Dean ought to get the rights to this song for his own.
For a sausage commercial?
Imagine. Ah, folks, this is Jimmy Dean. Have this playing in the background. Have Jimmy Dean come out, like, with a Nehru jacket on.
DJ. Hey, Billy, will you give me the, Charles. God, when am I going to get that right? Will you give me the BTO CD?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I used to love BTO so much.
I like the concept of Jimmy Dean using this for his sausage sales. I think that would be great.
How is Jimmy Dean?
My pure pork sausage tastes great. Folks like it. Isn't that right, David Essex?
Yeah, rock on.
Rock on.
Ooh, my soul.
Okay, on to, Bachman Turner Overdrive was all over the 1970s. Here was their first song from 1974. And is it Bachman or Backman?
Bachman. Bachman, Bachman, and Bachman.
It is. Hey, Buzz, you're like a regular DJ there. How'd you know that, Buzz?
I just do.
So
I'm older, that's why.
That's right. Buzz in the 1970s was already like, I don't know, how old were you? In 1974, how old were you? 35 in 1974?
30.
And this band was tight.
Oh, yeah. They were tighter than the Nuns, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had this. This is probably their biggest song ever. Also from 1974. And I think the radio stations used to always fade it out at the very end. They almost yodeled at the end of the song. You ain't seen nothing yet, but hey, we had no time for that. Those are the days when if a song wasn't 3 minutes long, the radio station would just fade it out after 3 minutes. Like, that's as long as a song could be, was 3 minutes long.
So they could play more music an hour.
What else do you have on that CD? You're taking care of business?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me just get up to the hook here. Ooh. Mmm. Ooh. They were a bunch of big fat guys, too, weren't they? These guys?
I don't know. Yeah, they were close to ZZ Top with those beards, too, that they had.
I think I once maybe interviewed these guys, or was the DJ on stage, and it was Compton State Fair or something when they were doing a show. They were real big, fat, tub of lard guys. You know who they reminded me of? There's a guy who's doing commercials right now. Have you seen the commercial where they're on a New York City subway, and it's a guy with long hair and a ZZ Top beard, and an old grandma says to him, "We've been admiring your breath for the last half hour." Have you seen that commercial?
Yeah, that's exactly what they look like. He's like a character actor that's been in a lot of movies.
There you go. Name it and claim it. That's BTO.
Get
know, bands like this,
I guess, what happened? Did they just run out of songs?
I think it might have happened. You know, it happens all the time.
Had like just five or six really good songs in them, and they spread them out over a couple of years, and then that's it. They're kaput. They're out.
And these guys were like, bam, bam, bam. I love to work it now, they
okay, there's two more great BTO ones. First, this one, Roll On Down the Highway.
Oh,
what a great intro. Now, this song to me, this is like, when was it, 75? When I was like getting out of school early to go be a DJ. Mm-hmm. I used to get in my car at 1 o'clock and seriously put my head back and go, ha ha, goodbye, you suckers. I used to leave all my friends back in class and go be a DJ. I don't play my BTO records.
You almost got in lots of accidents because your head would be leaned completely back.
Sucker. It's another one of these songs. Does anybody know what the hell this guy is singing?
Doesn't matter.
Does anybody understand? It's one of those songs when you sing along, you go, right over the house. All right, and just one more BTO song. This was like their last song. And you know how you were saying that bands always have songs that sound like the other songs?
Oh, yeah.
This is a song that I read somewhere that they purposely made, which is virtually, you ain't seen nothing yet,
mm-hmm.
except with a slightly different drum beat. And Mike, they caught it. Hey, you.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's just like the same guitar riff as You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Oh, but it's good. You know what I used to like most about these songs? There's a part coming right up here where the bass guitar comes in and goes, boom, 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 boom. Just listen to this. Right here. Comes in now.
I like any song where they go, na, 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 na.
Oh, wow, that's a good one. Charles Broyhill just brought in another great CD, another best of CD from the 1970s. Sweet. You remember Sweet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they were a band that was like kind of like punk rock kind of at the time,
mm-hmm.
modern rock for back in the 70s, although this was their first song. Which will make you think of Ernie K. Starface or whatever that Indian DJ name is.
Ernie Sky.
Rockin' the Reservation. Rocket 99.
Reservation Wildfire.
Cover your stinkweed. Do you have itchy feet?
This is Ernie Cutface. He's
the king around. Look at these guys. Look at these guys with their sissy haircuts on the back of the CD.
There's the 70s right there. That hair length.
Look like they got hair prettier than yours, Sherry.
Thank you. Yeah, I know.
And you got about the prettiest hair that I've seen.
Well,
but look
thank
at that.
You. Feeling all right. Just with little Willie around, they can last all night.
Keep me down. Stay now, help me decide. Is this bubblegum or is this raw?
This is bubblegum.
Thanks, Mike.
I thought it was rock.
Really won't go. Well, then they had 1, 2, 3, 4. Then they had a couple more hits. This one you're going to remember. Maybe you remember it from Wayne's World.
Oh, that's great.
When Wayne's girlfriend at the very end sings a song for Mr. Bigwell. Before that, it was a hit in 1976.
Ready, please? Andy? Yeah. Mr. Barum Briccio.
All right, fellas.
Let's go. Hey, fellas, you like this one?
Right on!
Solid. And they had one other one that sounded just like that one. What a great intro. Fox on the Run. Now, what is this, huh? Is this rock or is this bubblegum?
This is bubblegum.
Oh! Wrong again, Mike. It's rock. This is kick-ass rock and roll band.
Nah,
you're right. It's bubblegum.
It would, you know, if it
it's
was
bubblegum with guitars.
If they were going, ah, and there was not that,
But it's angry bubblegum, though.
That's right. You're absolutely right about that. It's angry bubblegum.
Bubblegum music with an edge.
They're chewing that bubblegum and they got frowns on their face.
That's what you don't like to pull.
Yeah, that's what I used to do. That used to be a move I'd do in high school, too. You know, we'd see that. You know, you used to do. How many people did that with their hands? Ah, get out of here.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Let's do a couple of calls before we have to break again. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you play something by the Police?
Something by the Police. Oh, yeah, they were popular in the 70s, now weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Charles has just put a CD into the machine. I'm not even sure what it is. He cut six.
Ooh, Can't Stand Losing You.
Can't Stand Losing You. Is that what this song is?
Yes.
Was this a hit? I never heard of this.
Was this in the 70s?
Let me pull out something I heard of.
Roxanne.
Yeah, that's the one I heard of. Step number three. I don't know what this is. Can't Stand Losing You. Here we go. Now, here's the Police. And you know, the Police almost were not a hit band.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idiots in radio didn't think they were good enough.
Oh, God.
And they couldn't get their records played for the longest time.
Because they had a very unique, original sound that nobody else had.
Yeah, and all the stupid radio guys said, well, wait a minute, they don't sound like BTO.
Duh, we can't play that.
But you know what I think of when I hear this? I didn't think of the 70s. I think of, what's the movie Eddie Murphy did?
48 Hours.
Yeah. Yeah, where he's in jail singing the song on his walkman.
Once, you know, he made this song famous all over again.
Yeah. All right, that's for you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, baby. Bye-bye.
All right.
We get one more call before we got a break. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, cool. How about the Bay City Rollers?
Oh, the Bay City Rollers. Mike loves the Bay City Rollers.
My first concert was Sean Cassidy, and the Bay City Rollers opened up for him.
Oh, you poor man.
Oh, man.
You poor man.
And what was that, Love Roller Coaster? What was that one song where the girl gets murdered in the background?
don't we get this every time we
every
do this show?
Every 70s show.
A girl was...
70s song.
A girl was... She was not murdered, though, during that.
That's what... That was a big story back then.
Billy, Charles, I am sorry that this one is not queuing up. The Bay City Rollers, darn the luck. Bay City Rollers not queuing up. Don't we have the Ohio Players, though?
Yeah. I always get the Bay City Rollers and Brownsville Station confused. I don't know why. For some reason, it's just...
Yeah, Mike, they're so different. Musically, they're so different.
Now, Brownsville Station was smoking in the boys' room, right?
Right, and then...
What was the big hit from the Bay City Rollers?
Saturday night.
S-A-T-U-R-D-L-Y.
Listen, we'll find it. We'll get it on. Charles is looking for it. Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, hello, Sparks, Nevada.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
I can do the Life Cereal Mikey commercial.
The Life Cereal Mikey commercial?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're going to recite it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Man, I took so much grief all my life over this commercial.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Mikey will eat anything.
Oh, man, all the time.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Hey, what's this? Some new cereal is supposed to be good for you. You going to try it? I'm not going to try it. Let's get Mikey.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won't eat it. Yeah. He hates everything.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he likes it.
Hey, Mikey.
Yeah. Yeah, man, they always used to throw food in front of me because of that commercial.
Oh, what is it?
My younger brother is named Mike, so of course I had to know the whole thing. Like,
then you knew all the words.
I knew all the words.
All right.
I thought I was queuing up the Ohio Players here, but as it turns out, it's Cool in the Gang. A song that you probably recognize now from some beer commercial where they get these fat guys dressing up as ladies to get their beer a little cheaper. You know, Ladies' Night.
Oh, really?
God, I wish they still use horns in music today. I really do.
As a club disco DJ, of course, you know, we would always, oh, welcome to Ladies' Night. Okay, here's Ladies' Night, Cool in the Gang.
Did you also used to play Last Dance as the last dance of the evening?
No, you know, you remember I used to play Eruption at the end of the night, Van Halen, just to drive everybody out of the bar.
Right. Well, I'm glad you could stay with us. Goodbye. Goodbye, Lady here in Sparks, Nevada. Here we go. Here's...
Have fun.
the Ohio Players. There was not a girl killed on a roller coaster, and they did not record the sound of her voice as she fell off the roller coaster.
No.
That was simply a record company lie to get you to buy the record. And it worked, because we still get stories about it now, almost 15 years later. This song out 1977, here's Love Roller Coaster.
Roller coaster, uh-huh.
Say what? Say what? That's why I love that guy in the back that just goes.
There's all sorts of stuff going on there in that song. Not just the scream, but all sorts of things happening.
How come they don't use, like, horns when they make records anymore? How come everything's got to be out of some stupid Japanese machine?
Because we are getting old.
Roller coaster! That guy's a maniac. Coaster. Ow. Yeah. You know, I'm white, but I can tap my foot to that one.
Why is that it? I gotta go.
Hell no, it ain't it.
This is the best of the dog.
Here, that's what he wants to say.
I wish I was there too.
You wish you were here. Elma does not like the fact that we made him get up. Is he kind of a lazy guy around the house, Mrs. Detweiler?
I'm not going to say anything.
Elmo Detweiler is the guy that makes the jewelry out of garbage.
Right.
That's for those of you who are wondering. He's the guy who also sits at a Chase lounge across the street from our radio station, because he thinks he's a member of the studio audience.
Right.
You know, I want to talk to Elmo because I think for Christmas time, if we could free him up and free one of your toenails up, Elmo could make a delightful pendant out of your green toenail.
I told you, Eric Clapton has donated $1,000 to my favorite charity. If I will clip that baby off and give it to him for use as a pick with his axe.
Lay low.
All right. Hey, thank you, Mrs. Dottweiler.
Sure, thanks a lot.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. That's right. Hey, chicks, you heard it. Elmo's here by himself.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
Oh, God, I'm so bummed. I'm moving to Boston, and I won't be able to hear you guys.
We're on in Massachusetts, somewhere in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but can I hear you in Boston?
Yeah, we're in Webster, Massachusetts, and
I don't know how long the commute would be, but if you moved to Webster, I'm sure you'd be able to hear the show.
See, I work as a nanny, and my
Nanny. God, would I love a milkshake right now. thank you for calling.
Oh, I'm going to miss you guys. I've been a loyal 4-hour listener, and you guys never call me, but that's okay. It's a different story.
No, you lose Don and Mike, but you get the beloved Boston Red Sox. So
I know. I love the Red Sox.
There you go.
You know, you didn't even notice. The only pencil that I managed to bring with me today to throw in case of emergency is a Boston Red Sox pencil. And you didn't even notice all of the graffiti that I've written on there, Mike.
I only wish that I could. You know, I still have that picture of Carl Yastrzemski, and I was gonna take my scissors and chop off the bottom half of your graffiti, but it's just too good with what you wrote on it. It's much the same on this Red Sox pencil. There you go.
Just let me say that in my weird world, Carl Yastrzemski has a lot in common with Yogi Bear. If you were listening to yesterday's program,
man, there's a nice little saying here. Yaz did something. I wish I could pass along what you've written that Yaz did.
Hey, thank you for the call. I understand we have a car phone. Someone is calling us from one of the buses. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
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 Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Robin. I'm the vibrator. I won the vibrator contest the other day.
Her phone broke up. I believe she said I won the vibrator contest.
You guys stop talking. Hello?
I'm in it. Yeah, so very inopportune time to have the cell phone drop out.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Contest.
That's right.
Hey, so, yes. We're trying to find a parking space here. We're driving around Ocean City, and we can't wait to see you guys. I have everybody around me. Do you want me to have everybody cheer for you guys?
Well, listen, before you do that, Robin, can you tell me, are you on the single bus or the merry bus?
On the what phone or the what phone?
Are you on the single bus or are you on the merry bus?
Gavin's bus, and who else?
Single bus. That would be the kind of bus.
So whatever, yeah.
Joe Rockwood, yeah. Have you at any time during the trip felt the need to take off some of your clothes?
Yeah, I'm in my bathing suit now.
Are you feeling festive?
Am I what?
Are you feeling festive?
Yes, hell yeah, I am.
Hell yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say that in the air, am
I? Wait, let me ask you, who's the celebrity you most resemble, Robin?
Who's the celebrity I most resemble, you guys?
Who's the celebrity?
Who do we think of?
The celebrity I most resemble.
I don't know. I've been told Nicole Kidman, but only with blonde hair. And I've been told Tracy Lords. God knows I do not look like Tracy Lords.
Oh, Daryl, there you go, Tracy Lords.
I am not
hey, Daryl,
star.
Daryl, the deck is quivering right now.
Finally gotten Daryl Nichols' full attention.
Huh? Send her by.
Yeah, and perhaps you could, when you get here, you could come up here to the deck and assist Daryl Nichols.
I will, if both of you guys will give me a kiss.
We promise.
Okay.
Sunscreen on.
Okay, we'll have a shut up, Daryl.
Do you want all of us to cheer for you guys?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, everybody.
That sounds like it's towards the back of the single bus. Perhaps
they're
having a little
bit
of fun.
We may have the emptiest bus, but we've got the most... Everybody! Wait,
this sounds wasted.
Do you guys touch the lesbians? Do you guys
right,
touch
sure,
lesbians?
Sure, put the lesbians on.
Okay, here you go.
Sure, put them on. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. What's your name, Tamara?
I'm Melanie.
Oh, hi, Melanie. How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you lesbians having a nice time?
Oh, we are having a wonderful time.
Yeah? What have you been doing?
What
have you been doing?
Anything we can get our fingers into.
Let's break for commercial. Hang up on them. Hang up on them. There's no way to get out of that either.
Maybe somebody's got a nice bowling ball.
Yeah, okay. Way to go. Thank you very much.
Anything we can put our fingers in.
Oh, God.
I was on the Vibrator Olympics. I was the contestant on the Vibrator Olympics.
Oh, man. God, do I wish that bus was here.
It's an interesting show today.
We got to do a quick break. We'll come right back, and we'll squeeze one or two more calls in. 1-800-636-1067. We are live from the beach, and as soon as the buses get here, you shall know it. We'll be right back.
Radio needs a good kick in the ass.
The Don and Mike Show.